Thank you, Joseph, for leading us in our singing today. Thank you, Cody, for the words you gave us to remind us of the importance of Jesus and the communion that we share together. Thank you to Scott and Eli who read to us from God's Word. Thank you to our men who have come, Bill and Virgil, to lead us in prayer. Thank you to those who taught Bible class this morning. You know, Cody talked about Bible class this morning, and he even said that those who didn't go to his class are old people. The old people class in the fellowship hall talked about admonishing one another. So, Cody, see me later. Collins thought that was funny, and that's what really matters, baby. Or it was probably a fake laugh. I don't know, maybe. Anyhow, it is great to see you. I do love that we can laugh and joke with one another. It is brothers and sisters in Christ, and we're family. And I'm so thankful for that. We are really blessed here at Azalea City. I mean, it's been such a great year. And folks have come our way, and our numbers are growing, and Bible class is booming, worship is booming. And today, we're adding to that number. I am so thankful. Let me say it this way. I'm so sorry, number one, that things are the way they are in the world. But I am so thankful to serve a God where Romans 8:28 is always true. All things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. This morning, and I'm, forgive me on the last name, but if I say Olga, y'all going to know who Olga is? All right, Katerina, also Katya, and Maria have moved. Let me just read her words. Recently moved to Saraland from Tuscumbia. She's done it with her two daughters. They were members of the Church of Christ in Tuscumbia. They visited our congregation and were deeply touched by the atmosphere. After prayer and consideration, Olga, Katya, Maria have all decided to place membership with us here at the Azalea City Church of Christ. Let me get Olga and Maria. Katya is at Faulkner University to stand up. Welcome. Welcome to Azalea City. We're so proud of them. This is also, Sergey and Olga are brother and sister, and so we're thankful for that relationship. Thankful to have them united too. That is a special blessing. I'm sorry for the way things are in the world, but I'm thankful for the good that is coming out of that. And so, Olga is a hairdresser and does a phenomenal job. She's not dressed my hair just yet, but I know she does a phenomenal job, and so she's got a brand new business, and so if y'all need that, ladies, please see her as well, and just thankful to have them here. And again, Katya is at Faulkner University doing great things as well. So join me in Daniel chapter 3. Eli read some from Daniel 3 earlier, and I just love those verses he read, but the full frame of that begins in verse 8. Really, it begins in the entire chapter, but what I want to talk about, let's read together verses 8 through 18, Daniel 3. Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and maliciously accused the Jews. They declared to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that every man who hears the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, pay no attention to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in furious rage, commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said to them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Now if you are ready, when you hear the sound of the horn, the pipe, the lyre, the trigon, the harp, the bagpipe, and every kind of music, to fall down and worship the image that I have made, well and good. But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast into a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I'm glad I didn't single them out. They said it unitedly. Answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so," in other words, if you throw us into this fiery furnace, "our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And He will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." If that doesn't give you chill bumps, folks, I don't know what will. One of the strongest statements of courage, of faith, and confidence in God throughout the entire Bible is right here in Daniel 3. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not going to be stopped by any threat of the king, by any threat of the people, by any gossip of the people, or any fiery furnace. You know why they were not going to be stopped by any of those things? Because they already had a greater fire burning within them. You see, that fiery furnace was nothing compared to the fire they had for God burning in their hearts. They lived in a culture that wasn't a lot different than ours. I know there was there's freedoms and different things like that in our surroundings that was different than them. They were ruled by a king, etc., etc. But their culture was not a lot different than our surrounding culture. Their culture demanded conformity. "We want you to conform." Folks, listen. There's a whole list of people in multimedia, right? Whether it's Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, all the others that are out there. They're making millions of dollars doing the same thing, a lot of them. One person will jump on this bandwagon, they'll make a lot of money, and then the other person will jump on and do it a little bit different here and there. And listen, you know what it's doing? It's entertaining us, right? I'm not saying all that's bad. I'm not saying everything's bad out there. In fact, you know, I find a lot of good. Even on TikTok, there's some good stuff, right? All these things. But all that to say this, there is a world of conformity out there. Even the people that say, "I don't fit in with the others," they fit in with the ones that say, "I don't fit in with the others." Okay? There's conformity. That's the society around us. It was back then too. Here's what happened. You saw it. You heard it. You know it. The music plays. And one by one, those in the crowd start bowing down. You can see the scene, can't you? There's this giant image, and all of a sudden, all those musical instruments come together in concert, and they are playing, and people are bowing. Why? Because King Nebuchadnezzar said so. And because if you don't say so, I will kill you. That was it in a nutshell. Bow, 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 bow. But three were not. They stood tall because their worship was already claimed by God Almighty. Today, we do not face golden statues on the plains of Babylon. I get that, okay? But we do face other images. Illusions of power. Success. Money. Pleasure. Technology. And approval. And you know what all those things that I just mentioned and so many more demand? They demand us bowing down to them. Who has claimed your worship today? What has claimed your worship today? Jesus said in John 4:23 and 24 that the Father is actively seeking worshipers. True worshipers who worship Him in spirit and truth. The same fire for worship that drove Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego must drive us today as well. That same fire that kept them from bowing down to the king's fire must be the same fire we have today. God is not looking, and listen, we got to say it. God is not looking for casual churchgoers. He's looking for people consumed with a fire for Him. So we're going to ask three questions today, and we'll get to them in just a moment. But here they are in order. Number one, how am I worshiping God? Number two, who is the audience of my worship? And then number three, do I have daily personal worship to God? Once we answer all three of those questions today, before we end, there's an opportunity for us to have that fire burning within us. If it's already burning, then we're going to keep on burning, right? But if it's not, we need to change it today. We need to answer those questions, and we need to answer them honestly. And then we need to see who's claiming our worship. So let's answer number one. Number one is, how am I worshiping God? The Hebrew word for worship is shakah, shakah. And the Greek word is proskuneo. And both mean the same thing. Isn't that beautiful? Old Testament written in Hebrew, New Testament written in Greek. The Old Testament word for worship, the New Testament word for worship, mean the exact same thing. So there's no questions about it. What they did in the Old Testament, or their posture towards it in the Old Testament, is the same posture we should have today. Here it is. To bow down and to fall on one's face. It is literally to prostrate ourselves before whatever's claiming our worship. Now today we want it to be Jehovah, right? We want it to be Yahweh. We want it to be God, the only God. But there are other things, if we're honest, if we're casual churchgoers, there are other things that are claiming us and are bowing down. And we've got to answer the question. Are we truly bowing down to God? Or are we giving in and bowing down to other things? See, worship is all about submission. It's all about reverence. And it's all about surrender. Abraham in Genesis 22:5. You recall what he did there? He built an altar. And on that altar was sacrifice. You know what that sacrifice was? Worship. Israel, in Exodus 4:31, they bowed their heads. Justin read to us from Nehemiah. We could have thrown that in there today. They bowed their heads to the ground. They're bowing down. They bowed their heads, Israel did, in Exodus 4:31, when they believed in God's promise. And the wise men, all the way in Matthew chapter 2, verse 2, you know what they did? They fell down in worship before a baby in a manger. True worship. We got to ask that. But remember, Jesus, God, is seeking true worshipers. So what is true worship? True worship is not a checklist. It's not some checklist. I did it today, boom, it's done. That's not it. It's a posture of our soul. What is our soul doing before the Almighty? Turn in your Bibles to Amos 5. You want something to wake you up this morning? Here it is. Amos chapter 5, verses 21 through 24. Amos was a minor prophet, meaning only because he wrote a smaller book, not because he was not as important as Isaiah, but one of the minor prophets. It's a book we don't read a whole lot, probably. But I need you to listen to Amos 5, 21 through 24. Amos, as a prophet of God, is speaking directly for God. So when he says, I, he's referring to God, okay? Listen how it starts out, verse 21. I despise your feasts, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. And the peace offerings of your fattened animals, I will not look upon them. Take away from me the noise of your songs. To the melody of your harps, I will not listen. But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. I'm going to tell you, if nothing else gets your attention today, that ought to. Because listen to me, church. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We could say the same thing about Yahweh, right? God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If He got tired of their junk-type worship back then, He will get tired of our junk-like worship today. Now, what do I mean by junk-like? Israel's worship became an empty routine checklist, if you will, and a lifeless ritual that they all went through. I believe we do things the right way. I wouldn't be here if I didn't. I believe we have the truth and we strive to bring the truth the way God wrote it. I believe that. And so I believe our worship is in line with God. I believe He smiles down in the way that we pattern our worship after the New Testament worship. But I will say this, I can't speak for you individually. I can speak for the whole congregation. I believe we get it right, but I cannot speak for you individually. I'm going to get into that a little bit more later. But you know what they did? Hey, they sang like we sing. Now, of course, they under the old law, they had harps. We don't. We have the harp. So all that to say, though, that they sang to God. You know what He said? I don't want to hear it. Take it away from me. He called it noise. It wasn't music, it was noise. Get the noise of your songs out of here. Because they had sang, they had sacrificed, they had assembled, but their hearts were not bowed before God. Let's be honest. The only way to solve something is being honest. Honest with ourselves. Can't answer it for you. You can't answer it for me. Has our worship become routine? Is it just another Sunday slot in the week? I mean, think about it. In 2020, and I know that's bad news to think about 5 years ago in COVID, right? Justin and I came up here. I would always encourage my family. My kids were young at that time, and I'm not judging you if you didn't do this, by the way. I'm just saying this is for me. My kids and my wife would get up and we'd come because I didn't want them to get in the habit of thinking that you could just watch worship, that you'd be okay. I wanted them to at least come to the assembly. And it was just a few of us assembly. But Justin and I, we put a lot of stock in that. We did it, and I think it was a success, and I think we did it as well as anybody. But how many times did y'all sit down, and I'm not asking, don't say it out loud, I don't know. I'm just saying, did you sit down and as a family at first and be like, this is amazing. Terry and Justin doing a great job. We needed some songs. We put some songs in it. We did all this. But how many times after that would you put it on and then go about doing the rest of it later on? Why? Because it's easy to get into a routine. It's easy to just say, oh, I got it on. I'm not paying a lick of attention if I'm honest with myself, but I have it on. Check. Just another empty slot. How many of us come here and do that today? I'm thankful. Bo's doing well. Thank you for your prayers. I hope all our college students are. But if you want to throw a couple extra in there, he's got a chemistry exam he's real stressed about this week. All that to say this, I'm thankful he's so serious about his studies. I really am. I don't have to tell him to do this. I don't have to tell him to do that. Why? Because he's driven by that. I'm not. I was driven by, I'm going to go have fun. Now, I did well, but he's not distracted. He's got his mind on what he's supposed to do. He's driven by that. I'm using that to say this. When we come here, what if in order to leave, this is silly, we had to pass an exam? What songs did we sing today? What scripture did Justin read from today? And by the way, I always say everybody else, Justin, you do a good job with announcements too. I left that out earlier. But what did Eli read from? What did Scott read from? What did Terry preach about? Can I name his point? Listen, I'm not saying that we got to have that to get in heaven, but what if? Are we that in tune to it that we know? Listen, sometimes, I'm just going to be honest with you, I have to close my eyes during the song because my ADHD is running so strong so that I can focus on God and my worship to Him. Is it just another Sunday slot? Are our songs sung without thought and meaning? We're just mumbling the words? Or are we singing at all? Communion taken without gratitude? What do we do? Hey, this is some pretty good bread. And by the way, it is. I think we got the best. The juice is Welch's. I'm pretty sure everybody probably does that one. But I'm saying, are we just saying, man, that bread's pretty good? Or are we focusing on this is the body of Jesus Christ that's represented? This is the blood that saves my, washes my sins away. Are we focused on that? Has our worship become a ritual? Like it did in the book of Amos. Something we do because we have to, not because we want to. You see, worship, it shouldn't flow out of routine or ritual. It should flow out of relationship. Our worship is a living connection with God. Without a relationship with Him, our worship is very hollow. But with a relationship, our worship becomes fuel, fire, and joy. Question number two. Who is the audience of my worship? This is critical. We say it a lot, but I think we really need to hammer this home right now. God is the audience, not us. I'm not going to criticize you, and I hope you don't criticize me if I say, out in the audience today, listen, don't pull anybody aside. We get that, okay? But I do need you to understand, y'all are not the audience, nor am I. God is. We're here for Him. We're here to bow down before Him. We are not here to be entertained. We do not come here, or we should not come here, to evaluate the preacher, or the song leader, or the order of worship. We come here to offer our hearts to God. Too many times have some made worship about performance. I didn't like the song selection. Listen, I think our song leaders are doing a great job. I can imagine that is really hard. I've never been blessed with that talent, so I wouldn't know. But I would imagine it's really hard. I know that they think over the songs, and I know that they're having a class over the songs, and they're trying to learn these songs. We've got a group coming in that's going to teach us to the joy in singing in October. Old songs, new songs, kids' songs, adult songs, as long as they are songs of praise to God. That's what matters, right? Listen, I get it that we want to be able to sing the songs, and I understand you can't just bring a bunch of new songs in at one time. And you know, I understand all that, especially on a Sunday morning, because our worship is about Him. It's not about us. It's not. Sermon didn't move me. W.T. Allison told me one time, he said, sermons need to move. Either they move the church or they move you. So, listen. I promise you, I'll make this deal with you, I promise you, every time I speak before you, I will have put my heart, prayer, and soul into it. That doesn't mean every time I'm going to preach a masterpiece. It doesn't mean every time. And oh, by the way, Dale, it may be a little bit after 12 today. You okay? If y'all weren't here Wednesday night, you missed that one. But anyhow, somebody who's near and dear to my heart, her name rhymes with Jamantha Churlock, said, Terry, there's no end time. Quit apologizing. I like Samantha. Samantha's my girl. But the point of it is, I may not always knock it out of the park. I tell you, I'm going to do my best. My best, you're going to get it. Or maybe we say this sometimes, I just didn't get much out of worship today. I wasn't entertained enough. Folks, the question is not, what did I get out of worship? The question is, what did God get out of me? Now, you didn't amen that, but I know you meant to. That's what the question is. What is God getting out of us? When I was at Faulkner, And this is no, I don't know if songs should be what tempo, pitch, or anything like that. But I know that Mike Horn, who's a great friend of mine, a great friend of a lot of people in here, used to lead singing when I was worshiping at University Church in Montgomery. He sang so up-tempo, didn't he, Michelle? It was so up-tempo that when the preacher got up there, you're like, whew, I'm glad. Because you felt like you were worn out. Do we feel that way? Do we feel that we've given God our everything? Listen, if worship depends on the talent of the singers or the charisma of the preacher, then we've missed the point. Yeah. Sometimes I don't have stuff in my notes. I probably need to think through it. Somebody told me a long time ago, and they're not here, or I'm friends with them and all that stuff, so don't take this ugly. I was a youth minister. And they told me, they say, you know, Terry, you're not the most creative youth minister in the world. I said, you're right. At the time, I mean, we didn't have any social media or whatever. I'm like, I can't invent some game that, you know, you can do with your teenagers and it's going to take off and it's going to be the greatest fad. I don't have that type of creativity. I said, but what I can tell you is I will love your children more than any youth minister on this planet. You see, it's not about charisma. It's not about how entertaining Taylor is. He's pretty entertaining to me. But it's not about that. It's not about how Justin makes us feel as we get ready to start work. And I think we all get it, but we need to say it. If that's what we're thinking, then we have missed the point. Even if the song is off pitch, even if the sermon feels plain, God is looking to see if the hearts are bowed before Him. Remember, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't stand in that fiery furnace because it was exciting. They didn't stand in there and think, man, this is the greatest day of my life. I love that we're going into this fiery furnace. It's so entertaining to me. I love it. It makes me feel good. No, they stood in the fiery furnace because their God was worthy. So it brings me to number three. Do I have personal daily worship to God? Corporate worship. Don't get lost in the word. This is corporate worship, okay? I understand we hear corporate world and all that, but this is us corporately worshiping. It's very powerful, and it should be. But this is not enough. Jesus said in Luke 9:23, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Daily worship is where fires are kept burning. But we struggle with that, don't we? Why? Let me give you a few answers here. Number one, discipline is hard. When we get on our own and, you know, we make our own money, you know, while we're under our parents' house, discipline was hard. Now we're on our own and, you know, we got a little freedom and all that. And you know, we always remember, hey, I'm my own person. But you know what's not hard? Being faithful to our phones. Being faithful to workouts. Being faithful to our jobs. But it's hard to stay consistent with prayer and Scripture. Number two, it's hard to have daily worship because busyness distracts us. We claim, man, I don't have any time. Just don't have enough time to read my Bible. I don't have enough time to pray to God. But boy, I have plenty of time to fill it with hours of news, sports, and screens. I like what Josiah Queen says in his song, Dusty Bibles. Hey, I've been fine. I've been struggling to find some peace of mind. It's the problem of our nation and in our generation. We're too busy and can't find the time. Are we busy? Or is it all a lie? We got dust on our Bibles, but brand new iPhones. No wonder why we feel this way. We walk with our eyes closed, blind leading blind folks. We got to get to the point where we sing it like this. And I'm done with these idols and dusty Bibles. You only get this one life. I don't want to sit and watch it pass me by. I'm so done being complacent, there ain't no replacement for a life in the light of your way. Get the busyness out. Get that lie out. Dusty Bibles and brand new iPhones. Let's get our priorities right. Thirdly, reason we don't have personal worship is stillness is missing. God said it in Psalm 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God." We've quit learning to be still. When I taught on the Ten Commandments on Wednesday night class, we talked about the Sabbath. Justin actually carried that class over and taught when I wasn't here one night for me. Did a great job. The Sabbath wasn't about resting your bones. It was about resting your soul. Okay? What time, don't answer this, what time did you go to bed last night? Did you prepare yourself on the way to worship? Did you get up thinking, today is God's day? You see, when we quit being still, we quit remembering that He is God. And fourthly, we don't have daily worship because we allow junk to crowd our minds. It's a saying that's been going on forever, garbage in, garbage out. What we feed ourselves with the other 23.5 hours of the day impacts the fire we have in that 30 minutes of devotion we give our God. You play around with stink, you get stink on you. I've said this illustration a million times. There's old dead, nasty, rotten animal on the road, and you go and play with it, pick it up and love it and everything else, you're going to get stink on you because it stinks. This world has got a lot of stink in it. The more we're around it, the more it will put that odor on us. We want God in our lives. We want to fill our lives with Him. If a person eats junk food all week, a multivitamin ain't going to do them any good. If we fill our lives with spiritual junk, 1 hour on Sunday will not sustain our faith. We need to cultivate daily worship. That means quiet prayer, meditation in Scripture, plenty of gratitude, confession of our sins, and praise to the Almighty. I want you to know something. I'm thankful you are here. Used to, you could determine about how many we were going to have in attendance because about 100 more people would be here for worship than we're here in Sunday school. So if I would go by and look at Sunday school, and I would be like, okay, we're going to have about, if we had 130, we would have about 230 people here today. I'm glad to say that's changing. We're having over 200 in Sunday school, not quite 300 yet, all the time in worship. So those numbers are getting better. Wednesday nights, let's get them better. You see, Sunday and Wednesday are not, I understand that there are schedules and there's sickness and all that, I understand that. But Sundays and Wednesdays are not a question if Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday are being done the way they ought to be done too. So in conclusion, why didn't Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego bow? And suggest three things. Number one, because they had a fire for the Father. Number two, because they were faithful, even if it meant the furnace. And number three, because they were friends who stood firm on the firm foundation. Because of all of those things, the fire of God burned in their hearts, and it was greater than the fire of Nebuchadnezzar's furnace. there'll come a point in time when we got to ask ourselves some questions. Is my fire burning for the Father? Am I being faithful in daily worship even when it's hard? Am I standing with God's people on the firm foundation of Jesus Christ? If worship has become routine in your life, if it's become a ritual or something that doesn't really matter, it's time to rekindle the flame. God is seeking true worshipers. He needs to find that fire in us. So today, if your fire's gone out, in just a moment, Joseph's going to lead us in a song and it can be relit by you walking forward and saying, God, I'm sorry. Church, I'm sorry. I want to be better. If sin has pulled you into bowing down to the wrong images out there, the blood of Christ can still cleanse them. If you've never bowed in obedience to Jesus to begin with, through your faith, through your repentance, through confession, and through baptism, today is the day to bow down to Him. Will you let the fire of true worship burn in you? If you have a need, come right now as together we stand.